Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Okay, we're going to play pretend for a moment now with Alec Murdaugh. All right. Let's say the quiet part out loud. We all know this. Alec Murdaugh's murder conviction is gone, overturned by the state Supreme Court, and not because anyone called him innocent. He's an admitted thief with decades of federal time left, and that stands. It fell because a court clerk leaked in or leaned into the jury, and because the judge let his financial mess swallow the actual murder question. So strip all that away, and let's look at what's left here. We got two people shot at the kennels. Two different guns, neither ever having the guns found. No blood on the man the state pointed at for 6 weeks. So today, a thought experiment. If it's not Alec, who is it? Got Jennifer Coffendaffer with us and Robin Drake, both retired FBI special agents. Let's take Murdaugh's name out of this. And I know, and we all probably agree Alec did this. But if he didn't, and they're going to dig in deeper, if we were to look at this from another perspective, because there are interesting lanes here that I still wonder about to this day of could there have been other people involved? Let's start out cold here. Forget the name Murdaugh. It's not on the board. Two bodies are set at the dog kennels deep on a rural hunting property with fresh eyes and no suspect in your head. Where does that scene point you first, Jen, if you're pulling up as a member of law enforcement and Alec is right there, standing there, hey, hi, how are you? In his white shirt, what do you do? What are you looking for?
Oh, I have to answer. Can I defer this to a defense attorney? You know what? I mean, there's just nothing that makes sense. In other words, okay, some of the theories out right there, right?
Yeah.
It's opioid supplier.
Okay.
So opioid supplier is going to come into the deep part of his property at the dog kennel and just decide to blow the head off of his son. You can bleep that out. That's what happened. And then with his wife crawling around on the ground, hunt her with a different gun. And then, oh, by the way, use the ammunition that is theirs. And oh, by the way, the Murdaugh guns are missing. No, if you're a person outside, you're going to bring your own weaponry to commit the crime. And how is that going to help you taking out, you know, the family of for drug debt? So that's just ridiculous. Okay, now the other one is revenge. Is it revenge because Mallory died in this horrible boating accident that Papa did? If that's it, and you're the family or a loved one or just a wackadoodle that's pissed off about Mallory Beach being dead, then you're going to do that on Papa. You're going to figure out a time where Paul, who's absolutely out of control, it's easy to find him by himself drinking somewhere. That's where you're going to take him out. You're not going to go on his property down to the kennel and then also kill the mom. So I just am at a loss of, and then, okay, Buster, right? Some people still say Buster.
I haven't heard that one.
I have, but it's ridiculous because he has a rock solid alibi about 3.5 hours away with his girlfriend. That's not going to play either.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense that it's anyone other than somebody in that proximity, and the whatever puts him there, the Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree too. Alex is the one that really fits everything on this one. But to your conjecture and to your thought experiment, Tony, so remove him from this as a suspect, even though you need this other element that I'd be looking at too. It's like, all right, because we, all these other things don't really flesh out, but there's a potential lot of 1 degrees of separation from potential impact of the financial crimes he inflicted on others. So I'd probably be looking at revenge motives from people associated with those that were impacted majorly financially that would want retribution in some way. And the next thing you start looking at, you start looking at leakage along the way, stalking behaviors, you know, so I'd be looking for arcs of escalation that would go in this area from people that might've been impacted by his financial crimes that he inflicted on others if I wasn't looking at him first.
Robin wins the game show again.
And congratulations, you get to go home with some delicious rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Yes.
A year's supply of it, Jen, just for you, rice-a-roni. You pull Alex out, and you got to put somebody in, if we're playing that thought experiment, someone with a reason to drive onto that land and kill a wife and her son. Paul was facing charges over the boat crash that killed the Mallory Beach and the lawsuits and the grudges they were piling up. If there was an outsider outside of any of this, if we had to look outside of the boat crash, if we had to look outside of his financial crimes, the only area that makes no sense to me is the sheer dollar amount of money that Alec Murdaugh was spending on his opioid addiction.
I looked it up too.
Okay.
Go ahead. But okay.
Let me finish this thought, then you can debunk it. Is the sheer amount. I mean, from everything I've understood, is like this could kill a zoo. Like, this is not one man's opioid addiction unless he's like hoarding opioids somewhere for fun. And it's just another addiction of his is collecting drugs. I don't know. But other than that, what are you doing with all these things? Are you getting that dramatically ripped off on the drugs you're buying? Or is there something else going on here that none of us are quite aware of or quite understand that go beyond Alec Murdaugh just sourcing opioids for himself? Is there a greater crime or another crime that's taking place here in Murdaughville that nobody is, I guess, truly aware of yet, or that hasn't been brought to the forefront that would somehow intersect with this murder that would give us more sensibility or more sense as to why this would have taken place? Robin, how am I wrong?
Well, I didn't say you're wrong. So when we did this thought experiment a couple of weeks ago, I actually did a deeper dive on opioids in that area, drug traffic in that area, airport trafficking in that area, and actually looking at what can someone function on that amount every day. So here's what I found out. He testified under oath that he was taking up to 60 oxycodone, 30 milligram pills a day. That equals roughly 420 pills per week or 1,800 milligrams of oxycodone daily. Street value for that pill typically is $20 to $40 for each pill and an average of $30 per pill, 420, comes out to 12,600 per week. The 50,000 per week figure, is buying significantly more than that. But it is physically possible for him to actually still function on that many pills a day, because what happens is you get a tolerance for that level and it doesn't start. It has a massive effect on your body, but it doesn't affect your day-to-day operation. He just became extremely tolerant of it. And I think the number that they came up with on this when I did the research, it didn't come out to 50,000. It came out to roughly like 36,000 to 44,000. And then with, just inflating things.
So when you do conjecture, it's like you see a 44 number. It's like it's almost 50,000 worth.
Yeah.
I can see how it gets conflated over time.
It is very plausible that is actually accurate. Even though it didn't sound accurate to me when I first heard it, yeah. I deep dove on it.
But did anybody test Alec Murdaugh to see if he was actually taking that many drugs?
That's a good
question. I mean, I think there would be a toxicology that would show that of some way, shape, or form to actually show, yes, in fact, he is taking that many drugs, or is that just his fucking story that he's telling people?
Or detox looks like snot coming out of your nose in trial.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering if that is part of the story. I mean, Jen, do you think there's more to the drug story here, or is that just another piece of noise or another conspiracy theory? I hesitate to even call it conspiracy theory because it feels like something different than this. Anyway, what's your thoughts? Do you think there's more to the drug story on Alec?
It's this shameful and pathetically predictable excuse for why he committed the crimes he committed.
Yes.
Why didn't he better? So he has to have this inflated amount that is not proven in anything that is factually concrete. That's just his numbers he threw out. So while they might be achievable, it was, like I said, pathetically predictable that he would try to say something like that.
And also, and to that, 100% agree, the fact, because I, part of us looking at it was he then reselling it? Was this drug dealers are coming to get their money? No, actually, so even if his numbers were accurate, they were consumable entirely by him, and he wasn't necessarily dealing, as we were going down that conjecture road, as possible theories as well. So yeah, Jen, I completely agree.
Give me an idea here, guys, from an investigative standpoint, with this thing going back to trial. Obviously, the attorneys of Murdaugh, Harpootalan, and Griffin have said they are going to be investigating it further, probably with their own PIs and such. But does this bring SLED back into the picture at all, or the FBI, or anybody to further investigate the case any deeper to counter anything that may be coming at the direction of the prosecution here? Does this further the murder investigation from SLED's perspective?
Absolutely, it will. And I would look for Griffin and Harpootalan. I say that right? Actually come up with a third party type theory. I don't know if the court will allow it, because if you don't have evidence of it, you can't allow it. But that's what I'm looking for. They're going to come up with something, and then SLED will get involved to investigate to see if there's any truth.
And talking about SLED, what do you think about SLED's conduct during this entire thing? Because they had, I looked this up last time we were talking about this too, Jen, they have a huge amount of resources, and they had a lot of reps. In other words, the amount of investigations they conduct per year in South Carolina is pretty substantial. And it's broken down, I think it's four districts they have, but each one of them had a lot of experience apparently doing this. Do you think they're on or off with how they conducted the investigation? How do you think it's going to impact the second investigation? Well, the second trial.
You know, overall, I think they did a pretty decent job. I really do. But there's always going to be mistakes made, because everyone on SLED, just like everybody in the FBI, nobody is perfect. But are there any large enough holes or mistakes they made to affect? I don't know. I mean, if they're smart, the defense attorneys, they will try to go after the investigation harder than they did before. I would be looking under every stone as to what they did wrong and try to run it like Alan Jackson would run it.
It makes you wonder if they're going to go for a third party. Are they going to name a name? Are they going to try and go down there? Is it going to be a mystery and just kind of out there in the ether? Do you think they have? I mean, the one that comes to my mind that has been kind of used as the scapegoat 50 different times, and in no way am I saying he had anything to do with this, is the Cousinetti character. But I am wondering if we're going to see somebody thrown under the bus here in an effort to protect or preserve Alec Murtaugh's flimsy reputation or whatever may be left of it.
A lot of it will depend on how much money Alec still has squirreled away to pay these guys and how they want to win. What they should be doing is they should be setting up mock trials and hiring individuals to be these juries and run by two or three different scenarios and see how that works in terms of what wins. Does it win just to basically indict and just make the investigation look horrible? Is it better to blame Eddie? Is it better to play they should set up those. That's what I would do if I had all the money, and set them up and see which one wins.
Yeah, good point.
If you were anybody in the world of Alec Murdaugh right now, and if you were Cousin Eddie, or you were anybody that may have more information about Alec Murdaugh that you have not shared at this moment in time, would now be the opportune time to do so?
It's the opportune time, but you know, I tell you, as an investigator for me, and I know we've talked a little bit about this, Robin and I have, but look, when people come in this late, after years and everything, you just have to, it's difficult to fully consider. I'm not saying that stuff like that won't happen and it won't be used, but hopefully the jury has on their wait a minute goggles, because a lot of times it's not valid. information.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of times, I mean, we dealt this a lot. When I worked in the RA here, the resident agency, you know, my main focus is always counterintelligence stuff. But inevitably, when you're working smaller offices, you do a lot of bleed over. And I would have some public corruption stuff. And man, people love going at each other in the areas of election fraud and public corruption, stuff like that. My first response always is, hey, man, that sounds really great. Show me. Show me the email, show me the text, show me something, because your recollection and your memory is a fantastic thing, but I can't bring that anywhere. Show me. So at this point, if someone has something else, show me.
Be interesting to see if anything is shown from anybody in the world of the Murdaughs. Fascinating new directions here with all of these cases. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Be sure to check out Jen's podcast, Break the Case, with Jennifer Coffendaffer, wherever you get podcasts, and also on YouTube. Just search it there, press subscribe, and of course, Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me, available wherever you get books and also available on audiobook right now. Go and check it out. Until next time, for Jen, for Robin, and for Todd, I am Tony. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.